The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Hit That Line. I'm your host, Zach Berry. Joining me as always, Austin Gray, Nicholas Carr, Ben Woodhouse. We are here to talk week four and Ole Miss, who is 3-0, as someone pointed out, for the first time since 2021. Rebels take on Tulsa this weekend. We're going to talk about the game against the Golden Hurricane. But before I do that, I do want to remind you of the sponsors that bring you Hit That Line. If you need that good neighbor service that it appears that our very own Ben Woodhouse is getting week in, week out, he is now 7-2-2 against the spread. If you're looking to get, good gambling service. Yeah, good gambling service from Ben. If you want good insurance rates and good neighbor service, you go to Davis McCord at State Farm. He's your one-stop shop in Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Mississippi for the service you deserve at the price you want. So stop looking around. Give Davis a call, 901-755-6110, for your surprisingly great rates today. Now, if you are tailing my picks, you are gambling with real American currency. It is abysmal. Another thing that you shouldn't gamble with is men's health and whether or not it is time to get a vasectomy. If you're wanting to learn more about that, and you're in search of treatments for men's health, look no further than Dr. Michael Jennings at Clinical Urology Associates. Dr. Jennings, an Ole Miss graduate, is here to make that difficult time of a vasectomy easier on you, now offering special in-office sedation for vasectomy patients. Also offering minimally invasive surgery, including the use of advanced laparoscopic procedures and the Da Vinci robot. He, along with his team of medical professionals, look forward to providing excellent health care to the people of the great state of Alabama and beyond as they accept all forms of insurance. So go all in and lay the points with Clinical Urology Associates and Dr. Jennings at one of their 5 locations in North Alabama and keep your health in the black. Give them a call, 256-492-4040, extension 4. Gentlemen, it was a look. Once again, I'm holding us back, but we are creeping closer and closer to 500. How are we doing this evening?
We're awesome. Doing it. Yeah, awesome. Just
man,
Nick
I
here.
Palpable enthusiasm.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, you and me, Zach, we're holding the team back. Like I talked about Kansas last week, how they were the highest scoring team in the country, how they were going to compete with Houston, how they may win the game outright. And then I let rain scare me off, and I played Kansas State instead, who managed to put up 10 points. So
and they got. They got Fritz.
My bad.
Can we talk about the lock of the century and actually the only game I put money on last week in real life? Because if I'm not watching the game, sometimes I get sidetracked. This is the only game I actually bet on. The under in the Ole Miss Georgia Tech game we should have had one pick on the season. It should have been that game.
That's ridiculous.
What were they doing? And Austin, you said it best to me before the thing. You said, maybe Vegas knows something I don't, but I just feel like I know something about this Ole Miss team that they don't, because this is my team. 63 on that game, I think is what it closed at. You got it at 64 and a half.
Wasn't it climbing?
It was steaming up. It was steaming
bizarre.
Yeah, maybe it was 60. It was not even close. I mean, we could have played eight quarters. I mean, I guess unless Ole Miss kept pressing, they were never going to get to 10. So we would have had to score them all by ourselves.
They didn't run that many plays on the plus side of the 50, being Georgia Tech, and only threatened to score once.
Yeah, one time. Of course, we shut it down in the fourth quarter. We had 530 yards in three quarters, and they had like 206 or something.
Like 180.
In three quarters.
188.
Yeah, it was – and a lot of that came on that one long drive. I mean, they – I would just love to dive deeper in the numbers, but, I mean, they must have had – multiple drives, like 9 or 10 drives with less than 20 yards.
That's one of those, and I'm sure this happens every week because we all gamble, but that's one of those where, like, I would love to sit on a Zoom call or go sit in a conference room with the Vegas odds makers and just, hey, what were you guys thinking? What were y'all seeing to do that? Like, because
that
they don't
that
miss
number
much.
May have gotten somebody no but that number may have gotten somebody fired. Like, now fortunately for them, there probably wasn't a ton of action on that game. It's not like it's an Alabama or Ohio State game or USC game where, you know, Joe Schmo is going to come put $20 on it, so they probably didn't have a ton of exposure, but it was maybe the worst number you're going to see all season on a total.
Also, have you seen this week's number?
I have.
It opened at 62. It's 65 and a half.
It's going up.
Like, every week this happens.
Same guy.
It's
like, they got to fire him again. I don't know what the
– I'm taking the other, lock it in.
It's public perception. Perception versus reality for Ole Miss. For the last year, the gulf between perception and reality, you may not be able to find a larger gap between how we actually win games versus how we are imagined to win games.
We're a running football team.
If I told y'all we'd beat Tulsa by the exact same score, we'd beat Troy, would y'all be surprised? What was it, 28-13?
10.
Oh, not surprised at all.
28-10, yeah.
28-10. Would that shock y'all at all? No.
I would. The only way I'm shocked this weekend is if Tulsa scores more than 21.
Yeah. And that requires us to get in the 40s just to get over this number.
If we win 38-21, nobody's like – thrilled, but nobody's mad either, and it still is.
And that's still, by multiple points. Like, that's all right.
So,
41-21
from last week. Before we get going, this is Ole Miss Georgia Tech. These are Georgia Tech's drives. Okay, 3 plays, 9 yards; 6 plays, 20 yards; 10 plays, 54 yards. I think that's the best drive of the day for them. Okay,
yeah.
6 plays, 13 yards; 6 plays, 18 yards; 2 plays, 22 yards. 6 plays, 10 yards; 3 plays, 3 yards; 3 plays, -2 yards; 3 plays, 0 yards; 12 plays, 37 yards; 6 plays, 25 yards. So that is Georgia Tech's drives last week. 214 total yards for the game. 214
drives with less than 25 yards.
I was hoping you were going to do the Dan Rubenstein, the punt, 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 downs, downs, punt, punt.
All right.
That's what there was. Punt, punt, downs.
Punt, punt, end of half. Punt, 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 downs, punt.
End of game.
I know people will like get on people for saying, oh, they should fire them. Well, they shouldn't have kept them in the season. But at this point, I really don't know what they're doing with Collins still. I mean, if it was an NFL team, I guess he would have been fired. But I guess the only thing is that there's no point in firing him now. You can't hire a new guy. But, I mean, firing somebody now is stupid. But more than done. I mean, it's almost disrespectful to keep him because he knows he's fired.
Okay, so this is a great segue into talking Ole Miss before we get into the rest of week four. I talked with David Brandt earlier this week, and I asked him this question, and I want to throw it to you guys as well. Because I have my thoughts, and it's still very early. They haven't started conference play, so I'm not asking for any hot takes or any, you know, huge stretching predictions, but just how good is this Ole Miss team? I mean, how good are they capable of being? And I just said I wasn't asking for predictions, but, I mean, 3 weeks, they haven't played anybody, but it's just been incredibly dominant on both sides of the ball. I mean, it's Ben said it. This is a running football team. They are smash mouth, downhill, hit you in the mouth. Maybe Vegas is praying that this is finally the week where they let Jackson Dart kind of spin it and see what he's got, because he really hasn't had to. And it's just been pretty pedestrian with the route concepts they've been doing outside of a couple heaves deep. But I mean, I'm bullish here, and I want to hear what y'all have to say before I say how good I think they can be. But is this a legitimate team that can challenge for second in the West and maybe slip up on Bama and make it close?
Yes.
There's no doubt we can challenge for second in the West.
Yes. Okay. And right. And I think that here we've said this, I don't know how many years we've been podcasting now, five maybe, something like that, four, I can't remember. Anyway, I've said since, you know, Saban's had the machine going, in order to beat Alabama, you've got to have very elite quarterback play. If you look at all the games that they've lost, that's mm-hmm. happened. Or you are the University of Auburn, Auburn University, excuse me, their rival, or you are Georgia. Really, anybody else, they just kind of
like Ohio State
ran over. I mean, they have great quarterbacks. Yeah, but I guess, and I'm not doubting the quarterbacks that Ole Miss has. That's my only hangup right now, though, is how developed is Jackson Dart by the time we play Alabama November the 14th or whatever day that is, November the 15th. Because, I mean, at this point, this is the best. This is, man, I can't believe I'm about to say this. I think this is the best defense we've had in my lifetime. And I think overall, depth-wise, too. And we had some front-end talent in 2014 and 2008.
I will echo the depth point, because their 2014 defense was incredible, but I think this team is deeper.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they run so many guys in and out all over the field. And the secondary on this team is very good. I mean, that team had Cinquez Golson, who had a lot of interceptions, but I'm not so sure this secondary is better. This one looks better. I mean, as far as like from an appearance standpoint, I mean, even in 14, we had some linebackers that were 5'9", 215. Now, they were good, but they were like small. This team looks like an Alabama defense size-wise or close. I think Ole Miss has a legitimate chance at winning 10 football games. Now, I'm not predicting Ole Miss to win 10 yet. But like I don't see a scenario, and we even talked about this before the season, but the way the schedule lays out, I don't know that there's a way for Ole Miss to win less than 7. But I mean, I think
there's
just no way. And if Ole Miss beats Kentucky, I mean, what are the losses on the schedule? You have to go to Arkansas. Well, I mean, Missouri State nearly beat them on Saturday.
We've been so good up in Fayetteville.
I mean, but you know what I'm saying. We can win there. We won there a few times in the last few years.
Defensive players out for the year. Catalan's gone.
Their defense is really bad. But I'm concerned if we can we put up points on them, like to keep up with them? Because I mean, the defense has got to play well against them.
Well, I was going to say equalizer here is the defense.
Oh yeah. I'm not predicting a win, but is the line more than 5.5?
No way.
No, yeah.
No, I mean, no.
It seems like a 2.5-point line. I mean, I think we'd be favored a touchdown in Oxford.
I think
what did the line close last year? Do y'all remember? Against Arkansas?
It was close.
Very low. 3.5, maybe 2.5.
Say like 2.5. Yeah.
And then
I think probably see similar.
Yeah, I mean – but it's just my opinion. Ole Miss is playing different defense than it was at that point. They had not realized that they were good yet on defense. I believe I'm a believer in stuff like that. Like Arkansas wasn't the best offense Ole Miss played last year. Now they're a good team, but I guess point being is they don't. I mean, KJ Jefferson is not winning any accuracy competitions among college quarterbacks. don't know. I think Ole Miss at 10 win can be. I think likely it settles. Like, what was the over under 8.5? That's mm-hmm. like dead on for me now. I mean, I think 9 wins is probably the likely number with a slip up.
What, either the over under was 7.5, LSU, wasn't it?
I think overs. I think over is comfortable there at this point.
Oh, if you're setting lines now, the over, like the juice is like -175 to the over.
Yeah.
Like you're I mean, losing I think, big money. If you
would you put the total at 9.5 now?
Nah. 8.5. I'm up at
8.5. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe, beat Kentucky. Do you keep it at 8.5?
It probably goes to 9 flat.
9. Yeah. I go flat so, 9 if we
I mean, if you told me Ole Miss went 11-1 right now, I would mm-hmm. in no way – I think it would be the same thing we did last year is we just won a bunch of toss-up games. Of course, we didn't win that Auburn game. I guess it was a toss-up. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm looking at the schedule. Would it shock you if we went down to Texas A&M and beat them, like, 24-17? No. Shock you if we beat LSU? Would shock you if we beat Arkansas? Okay, those are the road games.
I'm going to have red – rear end if we give up 17 to that offense.
they're not going to be this bad forever, right?
Who?
Yes.
A&M's offense.
Yes. Yeah.
Dude, they suck.
They do.
Who's their quarterback? I mean, Max Johnson is a guy that fucking drives a Civic in the left lane 10 yeah, under the speed limit. Excuse me for the expletive, but I mean – they put him out there basically not to wreck the car against Miami.
For sure. But we could very easily go to College Station and score like 13 points. That's a very, very good defense. The second best one
it is.
We'll play all year, without a doubt.
13 points?
Come on.
We're averaging 9 yards a carry. What are
that's a top 5 defense in the country, I think. Top 8 at worst. They're very good. And they're just 5 stars everywhere.
They got beat by Appalachian State at home.
Okay, I get it. But, I mean, if we're doing
Appalachian State, who should have lost to Troy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes. I think A&M is going to be better later in the season.
They will.
Because they're really young on the defensive front. Really young.
And they can't be much worse guys than they were.
Yeah, right. Yes.
The problem that A&M is going to have is putting the ball in the end zone.
No, like that, I agree.
Right now,
with what I've seen, I don't think they're putting it in the end zone very often against this Ole Miss defense.
That I agree. That's where I'm at. Like, let's leave the offense alone. I think Ole Miss is going to be able to ride the defense and just pound the rock. They're going to be. I think Ole Miss will be in every single game this year, and that we can't say that about last year. Alabama ran us off the field. I don't know that we're going to get that this year from them. I mean, maybe late, but I think we're in it at halftime. Shoot, last year, what were we down, 28-0 at halftime or something? 21-0? But it felt
then
way worse.
You were in Oxford when the game ended, I believe.
I was.
And I you was. You were in Tuscaloosa when the game started.
Yes, but I sat next to you. I know. We were in Tuscaloosa, and it was bad enough that I just left at halftime. And I don't leave games early. And I was like, huh. There's no way we're not. This is a different. This it was like a champions division playing a Premier League team.
Yes, yeah, it was totally different.
Nick, this will tickle your fancy here. This Ole Miss team could be a fancier Wisconsin.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like just stone cold defense and just an offense that has a really good running back and they just cruise control. And
give me Wisconsin's team and Dart is as good as he could be, then we're 11-1. No, there's no doubt.
Well, we all said it in the preseason and we nailed it. I think the defense had a lot of promise. They have a ton of talent, a lot of transfer talent. We knew the secondary was going to be talented, but we all said it. The run game should be good enough to let Dart get his feet under him and get comfortable, and then they can really turn it loose. And I think that he's had some really good spots, and he's had some bad throws. And I just think that, like, he's getting all the first team reps now. I don't care what anybody says. Luke Altmaier's not the quarterback. It's Jackson Dart's team. Look, everybody's saying it on social media. All the players are saying it. Lane Kiffin's sharing his Instagram posts. Like, it's done. And I think with all the repetitions he's getting and then getting more comfortable, settled in games, they're going to let him spin it a little more, and it's going to be okay. But, like, even if he's still a young, inexperienced guy that is just not there yet, you just turn around and hand it to number six, and it's going to be okay.
I mean, to your point, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's going to be one or two games where they've got to really open up the offense, but I think they're going to keep Jackson Dart in a bunch of, you know, simple read plays where he's not having to go through, like, multiple progressions to throw the ball. I mean, really, Ole Miss did that with Matt Corral, who was a fifth-year senior who could look off safeties and looked people open. Like, he had a firm grasp of the offense, but I think that's part of just what Lane Kiffin does. Why would you make things – I've always wondered this. I guess in the NFL you have to because it's so complex, but why make things complicated when you don't have to? Ole Miss runs the ball well enough that I think that you can throw to keep the – I mean, defense honest because – and instead of the other way around. I would pound the rock, man, like, you know, and hope that, you know, you stay healthy. But here's another good thing about the Ole Miss, this Ole Miss team. Is there anybody on the roster, save maybe Zach Evans, that if they went down, that the win-loss record changes?
No, I don't think like so.
Your prediction. I don't either. I mean, I don't think this is – you couldn't say that last year.
I'll be honest. I don't know that Evans changes it that much with Quinshon running the way he has and Bentley getting, you know, limited reps, but scoring seemingly every time he touches the ball. You know, Control Bullock hasn't really played much yet. Yeah, I think he is. And Bullock, who everybody liked a lot coming out of high school, hasn't worked his way into the rotation because he's got three NFL backs in front of him. But I think Bullock is a good now? Maybe not, but he's a great college back. Or I think he could be.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the second guy Kiffin went to see when he got the job.
Yeah.
He went and saw he saw Ja'Kevion Brown first, and then he went and saw Control Bullock. So, I mean – They clearly think he's good enough. I mean, I don't know if they're trying to redshirt him or he's chilling and maybe getting in the portal, but, like, yeah, I mean, he hasn't even seen the field.
Well, I just thought it'd be – I mean, you know, I'm glad we talked a little bit about Ole Miss to start the show. I really absolutely think that this is between an 8 and 10-win team at this point. We would all be disappointed if they finished with 7 wins.
Yeah, I would be. I'm just gonna say it. I mean, whatever. I would be a little upset if we finished with 8. I'm not gonna be like fire Kiffin or anything. But if we win 8 games this year, we've already won 4. I'm counting Vanderbilt. That means we finished 4.
We've already won 5 because you got to count Tulsa.
Yeah. Well, okay, we've already won 5. That means we won 3 SEC games against, and that means we would have played 7 teams that we could have beaten.
Right, yeah. And I know Kentucky's good. Yeah. Everybody says they're good or whatever, but Kentucky is not recruiting the same player that Georgia is, or who you know. We didn't.
That's going 3-4 against an Auburn team that we are better than, against LSU and MSU and Arkansas and Kentucky and Texas A&M. All these teams. I mean, I hope we can go at least 4-3 against those 7 teams. You know, not Alabama. So. I certainly think 8 would be slightly disappointing. I really do.
Well, I think you look at it as you have 4 games that basically decide your season. And 2 of them, and when I say decide your season, I mean there are 4 games that are, in my opinion, toss-ups, like could go either way. 2 are at home, Kentucky and Auburn. And then the other 2 on the road, Arkansas and A&M.
What about the LSU game? Is that a guaranteed win? I mean,
I still don't know. I still don't know what I think about LSU because, I mean,
so we've all
seen them. I'm putting that on hold for now. I still don't know what I think because they had every opportunity to lay down last weekend and they didn't. Now, I don't think State's very good, but they still won. I still don't think Jaden Daniels is that good. Now, they're pretty stout up front, so that'll be a hell of a matchup with the run game against their front 7. But I mean, they're, I mean, Kayshon Boutte has really done nothing. And I couldn't even tell you what the running back's name is. I have no idea what, I have no idea who it is. And they usually have a dude back there that totes it pretty well. So that for me right now is just wait and see, maybe a couple more weeks before I make a decision. But I don't know. Ben, I think you're right about the dart thing where you, you know, KISS, keep it simple, stupid, and let him get settled. But I think you're going to start to see more run pass options for him. Cause I mean, hell, we saw what he can do with his legs last week. I mean, he knocked some dude into the upside down. I mean, so, I think you're get him outside the pocket, give him, you know, a waggle to Trig. And if it's not there, run it, or get him out there and have somebody dragging across. He can dump it off and then take your shots on first down. Like give him throwing, like let him throw it in running, like on first down. Don't put it on him when it's third and nine. And, you know, just because you can throw a, you know, take a shot on first down. Okay, incomplete. It's second and 10. Hand it off to Zach Evans for 6 yards. Then you're in third and manageable and you can, you know, get creative, whatever. But
so if you are coaching against Ole Miss this week, and then we'll get into our picks. If you're coaching against or this year and you're the offensive coordinator for the opposing team, what do you do to try to move the ball on this Ole Miss defense? What is our weakness?
I would say
I don't think we haven't faced power run yet with SEC level athletes. I think that's one thing that gives me some concern. It concerned me last year going into Bama, just based on our base defense and the three man front. I was worried they would line up and road grade us, and they did exactly that. Now this year, I'm not so sure that we're going to line up in a three-man front when we're facing power run. We've already seen Partridge go to a four-man front a couple of times, which I love. I think we're more multiple this year. I think we're much more aggressive too. I mean, I remember the podcast we did after the Arkansas game last year and all of us bitching about our lack of pressure. We didn't send anybody. We didn't heat up Jefferson at all. We let him sit back there and just pick us apart or rush for 7 yards. Partridge is not going to do that. So while I do have concerns that, you know, if you have an NFL back and an NFL offensive lineman, maybe you can chew us up. But I don't think we're going to get absolutely paved like we did last year against Bama. I just – maybe Georgia could do that to us. Maybe Bama again this year, but I'm not so certain. I think we can hold our own. I think we just have more lead in our ass this year, and we're deeper. And the fact that we're so multiple up front, I'm not sure that there is a good way to attack us.
I mean – I mean, I think it is just run right at it. It's almost like, you know, how do you beat a blitz? You know, you throw into the blitz, like or you run into the blitz kind of thing. I think you just try to run right at Ole Miss because they've shown the ability to get after the passer. They bring multiple blitz looks from different, all three levels. I mean, the, you know, stun up front, twist at the linebackers, come outside, come inside, right up the A gap. They'll bring safeties and then, you know, number one pass defense right now in the country, in terms of, I think completion percentage. I think that's right. But
I think that there are multiple NFL guys in our secondary right now. I think some of them are young, some of them are freshmen, sophomores, but we've got dudes back there. Like, this is not just a function of us being old and seasoned. Like, that, the 14 defense with Cinquez and Pruitt and those guys, great SEC players, great college football players. But they were old. They had seen a lot of snaps. They had taken their lumps
Trey
along
Elston.
The way.
Yeah,
exactly. Trey Elston. Like, they got better with each year. And, like, that's awesome. You want to see development in your program. But we didn't have dudes like Igbinosin back there. Like, we didn't have that guy, right? The guy that could shut down half the field. Like, we didn't have Markevious Brown. Like, I think our high-end talent, although it's young, is much better than anything we've had in recent years, maybe ever.
Maybe ever. I was going to say, I don't think there's a – to this point. Now, I mean, after Kentucky, we may revisit this and say, dang, Rodriguez ran all over us. I have not seen a part of the defense that's very vulnerable to this point. Like, you know, Austin, you talk about, Zach talks about, Nick talks about how good the secondary is. I mean, you just hit on that. I mean, my favorite position group on the defense right now is the linebackers. Mm-hmm. Like, they – hey, not to talk about, you know, make fun of Weston McGriff. He used to call run fits or like eye fits or whatever he said. You know, we got to get our eyes in the right place. We're just like the linebacking group's never out of position ever.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a few times where Georgia Tech would run it and be like, oh, there's kind of a hole there. And he gets 1 yard and we've got three guys tackling him. It's like, well, there's Troy Brown and there's, you know, whoever. And it's like, golly, man, these guys are sideline to sideline fast. Oh, they look big. It's a different and Ole Miss lost Chance and what's his name? Mark
Robinson
last year. I mean,
two guys that are the group got better.
Yeah, the group got better.
We've also got a lot of guys that are kind of Swiss Army knives that can help in the box against the run as if they were linebackers and also play coverage. And I think in the modern game, like you can't have enough of those dudes, like Tennyson, Reese, and Isheem and Tysheem, and like those dudes can do whatever you ask of them. And
I think
in the modern game, like they have to cover a tight end. Sometimes they have to come up in the box on third and short. And we got like six dudes that can do it.
So 2 years ago when we played, I guess maybe stated, I guess we ended the year with LSU and then we went to the Outback Bowl. I can remember in the Outback Bowl thinking Otis Reese is our best defender. Like that guy looks different than the other guys on the field, or he felt that way to me. Maybe it was just because he was new, whatever. When I watch, and this is not a knock on Otis Reese, I think he's a great player, probably NFL player. When I watch now, it's not as big of a gap if he is, if at all. And he's probably not. And again, that's no offense to him. That's not what I'm not meaning it as a slight to him. It's just like he was kind of on an island by his own or on his own with a bunch of like junior college players. And now he's got a bunch of other guys like him back there. And it's like there's six Otis Reeses rather than one, or, you know, or six guys better. Whatever. But I just think the defense is really good. I really do. I'm very, very impressed with their appearance. Now I understand why these podcasts we listen to as fans, when you listen to like Ben's show in the preseason, I would listen to him on my runs and he'd say, you know, he'd be on here with David Johnson or whoever. And he would say like, David, I've covered Ole Miss since 2007 or eight. And not to put words in his mouth, I've not seen a team that looked like this. I have not seen a team in preseason that looked like this. And I kind of thought he was crazy because I hadn't really kept up with it. It's more difficult with the transfer portal. And now, man, they get off the bus and you're like, dang, dude, those guys look good. I mean, we look like a traditionally good Auburn team right now to me. Mm-hmm. That's what I would compare us to.
Well, you touched on it with the look, and then Austin hit on it with the mix of young talent with experience. And I think, I mean, there were several times in that game where, like, I think Ben said it, where Georgia Tech had an opening, or Jeff Sims got out of the pocket and you're like, oh, he's going to scramble for a first down. And then, I mean, one that stuck out in particular was like Davison Igbinosin came out of nowhere and closed on him and tackled him 4 yards short of the first down. And then, I mean,
Brent did it one time. Huge tackle early.
I mean,
in the game.
just closing. That's another thing. This team tackles extremely well, much better in recent years. But yeah, I mean, they just the size speed ratio that they've been recruiting. I mean, these are guys that look the part and play well. And then Austin's point about you've got a mix of, you know, a true freshman in Igbinosin, you've got a sophomore in Tysheem Johnson, you've got, I think, a junior in DeAndre Prince, but then you've also got these transfers in there. Kari Coleman's played a lot of football. Tennyson's played a lot of football. Isheem Young was a all Big 12 defensive player of the year.
Troy Brown
was all MAC. You know, Jamon Gordon and Isaiah Iton are second year JUCO guys that are looking the part and taking the next step. And then
look, Tavius Robinson never gets shouted out. Dude has had a hell of a year so far, man. He reminds me a lot of Marcus Tillman. Like, he may not be spectacular on the high end. He just does his job. Like, he sets the edge. You're not going to beat him outside. He looks like an NFL end. Again, he's not going to have, like, 12 sacks or anything. But man, the guy is
Marcus
just lunch pail.
Great comparison for him. That is,
Dude. Like, he just shows up game in and game out.
Yes.
And, like, Jared Ivey, I mean, a guy that knows his role, plays well, gets after it. And like, I think Randall Joyner, I mean, a lot is said about him and his recruiting chops, but his group it's hard to have a group like that with so many talented guys that you have to rotate in. I mean, JJ Pegues has been a pleasant surprise. I mean, everybody knew he was athletic. I don't think anybody thought he'd be playing this well. You know, sometimes they'll trot out, you know, the walking Coke machine that is Xavien Harris, who is 6'7", you know, 340. I mean, it's just, it's a different looking team. I mean, you might say, well, the 2014 defense had Robert Kimdichie. Okay, maybe this team doesn't have a guy like Robert Kimdichie, but they have four or five guys that are pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we'll do our pick on the Ole Miss game, and then we'll get into our locks. I'm not locking this one in by any means, but, I mean, I think Ole Miss wins comfortably. What's the spread, Nick?
19 and a half, maybe?
No, I saw 21 and a half.
Oof. Yeah, we've gone over the key number.
I'd still lay him.
That's a big number.
It's a big number.
We don't have much incentive to cover that number. You know what I mean? And y'all know this. Ole Miss doesn't kick field goals. I mean, look at what we've scored this year. If we can avoid it, we like to have a nice, even, you know, divisible by seven number. So, I mean, 42-21. Let's say they score a little bit late, that didn't cover because we don't kick field goals.
I mean, I could see a 35-10 win. I mean, Tulsa's not stopping the run game. Now, if you want to play devil's advocate, I think this is a perfect look ahead spot and a week where Kiffin can take one out of the Saban playbook and not try to just run it up and beat them down and have a week to just beat them up in practice about how poorly they played to get ready for Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
But
you could go the other direction though and try and get their confidence rolling into Kentucky as well. Like that's a catch 22. Look, I'm inclined to lock in the under here. And I'm just going to go on and do it. I see it 65 and a half. I'll take the under. My concern is Tulsa like throws the ball down the field every single play. And while we do run the ball and play good defense, it's not like we go slow. We still go fast. And so I'm afraid Tulsa's just going to have a lot of plays, and that's going to run the score up a little bit just simply because you eventually get lucky. Maybe we intercept them six or seven times. I don't know. But, I mean, I'm still going to take the under 65 and a half. I mean, at that line, 42-21 covers. I mean, and I just don't know that I see this game going more than that. I guess 42-24 doesn't, and that must be what they're predicting, but or somewhere in that range. But give me the under 65 and a half. Like I said, Tulsa throws the ball down the field, but we've talked Ole Miss ad nauseum. Y'all know my stance on the defense. I think it's the best one we've had in my lifetime. That includes 2014, and that includes 2008. And so, I mean, I just know what I'm seeing. Now, they haven't played anybody. Ole Miss has not played anybody. Or I'd say we haven't played anybody. But that doesn't – I know what my eyes are telling me, and that is that this team's very good on defense. So, until they prove me wrong, which may be Saturday, I'm going to ride unders until they just start lowering that total to something in the 50s.
Yeah, all I'm right. with you. I'm with you, I think, chapter and verse on that, Ben. I mean, until – Ole Miss shows a different approach, both offensively and defensively. These totals in the mid-60s just don't make any sense. And this could be the week where we look like idiots and it's 55-38. Like, it could be the week because Tulsa does play tempo. They do chunk it around, but they haven't seen a defense like ours yet. They just haven't.
That doesn't mean five units isn't going on this under, though. I mean, it's going again, just like last week.
Yeah, so I'm with you. And the other thing that's notable, just not to dwell on it for too much longer, but what happens in the market, and happened last week as well, is oddsmakers open the number in the low 60s, and then somebody is pounding the hell out of the number to get it up to the mid-60s. Whoever those somebodies are, they're just not watching our games. They're not watching Ole Miss football. They're just not.
Well, there's Lane Kiffin there. They got high-powered offense, you know, that kind of deal. It's as if we've become the 2020s Oregon, when in reality we're more like – I can't even – Auburn, You know what I'm saying? Like,
think,
we just run the
ball. I think the last game these folks watched was Ole Miss Arkansas last year.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, 100%. That's it. That's the team. That's who they are. Dude, we haven't been that team since that game. Like, we're not that team.
Yeah, also, I'm just going to give y'all a couple of scores from last year. Tulsa, when they played, either they played two Power 5 opponents in Oklahoma State, Ohio State, and then they played Cincinnati later in the year. 51 points, 61 points, 48 points. And they respectively scored 23, 20, and 20. That's not – they're not a big high-powered offense when they go against it. It's not like they went to Ohio State and lost, 63 to 50 in some shootout. They went to Ohio State, lost 41-20. A very pedestrian, would not shock me if that was the score on Saturday type game. And they're not going to run you out of the building. They do run a high-powered offense. Got to go back to 2019 to when they played some other ones. And there was a high-scoring game against SMU, but they lost 40-21 against Oklahoma State that year. They lost 24-13 to Cincinnati that year. I mean, they kind of are who they are. Lost 28-7 to Michigan State. I don't think that this Tulsa team is going to impress us on offense. They score a lot of points against some bad teams. I still think they're limited, athletically against a team like Ole Miss.
So, I just for fun went to the Tulsa football recruiting, like on 24/7 or whatever, just as we're sitting here talking about it, to kind of know what they're looking like. Okay, in 2019, their overall rank, that this is composite of high school recruits and transfers, is 109. 2020, 114. 2021, 128. 2022, 120, it's not loading. Anyway, y'all get my point. I mean, they're not like some 111 in 2022. So they're not recruiting anybody on their roster would get an offer from Ole Miss. Like these guys, I don't even know. Does Tulsa recruit against Southern Miss even? Probably not. No. I don't know.
Maybe.
I
mean, who's
– anyway, I thought they would be better than that. I thought it would be like in the 60s or something, 70s. But this isn't even like a great group of five talent base for a team. Right. I mean, they're almost Hawaii bad in terms of recruiting.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Their style of offense is what makes them them seem like they can do something. If they didn't play that style of offense, they'd be far worse because they recruit so poorly. Yeah. I don't think this game is, and honestly, Troy has kind of proven that they're a little bit better than I thought they were at the beginning of the season. This Tulsa team, I don't think is very good at all. I think this is the third best team that we'll have played thus far this year. And we may not come out and run them out of the building, because we don't have to run them out of the building, but I don't expect much at all from this Tulsa team. I mean, everyone is big on their passing, but they don't run the ball at all. So I mean, we'll just we'll key in, we'll bring pressure like we did against Georgia Tech last week.
The problem with us like not quote unquote running somebody out of the building is in the past, in order for us to do that, we had to air it out. Now, like you can't help but run somebody over if that's right. What you do. I mean, you don't really. When you're sitting on the ball, like taking the air out of the football, that's already our offense a little bit. So
when
it's like
when you do that, Bentley scores three touchdowns. I mean, that's what happened, right?
All right. Ben's got one on the board. Let's get into some locks. Nick, what are you showing for Oregon Wazoo?
Oh, that's a good one. I've got six. Or seven, depending on which side you want to take. Oregon, okay. Obviously the favorite.
Yeah, I'm leaning the Ducks way here. If you can give me six, give it to me. Oregon beat the absolute brakes off of in my opinion, a good BYU team last week. This is on the road. It's in Pullman, so it could get weird, but I'm not quite sold on Cam Ward just yet. in the Washington State offense. I think he'll eventually be fine. All three of Wazoo's games this year have gone under the total. That doesn't bode well against an Oregon team that's going to score quite a bit. And Oregon has covered five consecutive games as a favorite. I like this Oregon team, even though they got walloped against Georgia. I mean, everybody's going to get walloped against Georgia. Bo Nix looks to be a confident quarterback. They've got talent across the board. They recruited well. And then Dan Lanning's going to play good defense. So I like Oregon here in the spot.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet. I looked at that Oregon game a couple of different times, but I'm going to go a different way. And I'm going to go ahead and take probably get some better judgment. I liked them last week. I didn't put them in anything I did. I'm going to take Kansas State. I'm getting to the over-under here of they're playing at Oklahoma this week. Sorry, but Kansas State under 53.5 against Oklahoma. I think they're going to slow the game down. Do exactly what they need to do. They whipped up on Missouri 2 weeks ago, okay? It was 40-12 was the final. So that's under. They were under in the first game. Big time under last week against Tulane. They kind of laid an egg there, losing 17-10. I think they're going to slow it down exactly what they need to do. I don't see this game being played much above the mid-40s. So I definitely think it's going under 53.5. It's at Oklahoma, which makes me a little bit nervous, and I think Oklahoma's pretty doggone good. But I still think Kansas State's going to do just what they need to do. And I honestly don't think they're going to score a ton of points. I don't think Oklahoma will blow them out.
Two sneaky good defenses. I mean, K-State has got one of the better defenses in the Big 12, which is not saying a ton, but still. And OU, right, for years, you know, that was their Achilles heel, that they didn't have a very good defense, or at least not a defense that could match their offensive output. I'm not saying their defense is as capable as their offense is this year, but it's definitely better under Venables.
Austin, you got a pick?
I do. And I'm going to do the Lord forgive me Bugs Bunny meme here. And I got to do it, though. Like, give me North Carolina -1 against Notre Dame. Is that what I'm getting? Is it -1?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So UNC had a bye week last week while Notre Dame was hanging on for dear life against Cal.
But wait, I'm sorry. You want North Carolina? Best I can get you is -1.5, sorry.
All right, give it to me.
Not that that matters much.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't. God, knock on wood. Yeah, North Carolina's secondary is trash. Maybe the worst in the Power Five, but Notre Dame can't capitalize on that. Their quarterback is hurt. They're playing a backup who is maybe MAC quality quarterback. He is bad, really, really bad. He could not do much against Cal. And I know Wilcox and Cal usually have decent defenses. They do not this year. And Notre Dame could not move the football. They lean heavily on the run game and they have a good offensive line. But I just don't think that they can exploit UNC downfield. I think Phil Longo is going to be in his bag after a bye week. And UNC's quarterback literally may be the best in the country. I think UNC gets into the high 30s, maybe low 40s. I don't see Notre Dame getting out of the 20s here. I think the Tar Heels roll 1.5 is an easy lay for me.
Man, that's a good pick.
I was going to say, I don't really know. Like, this spread kind of upsets me because I'm thinking the same thing you are. I mean, North Carolina's, they're going to score points. The defense is pitiful, but Notre Dame's like the one team on their schedule that may not take advantage of.
Exactly.
Nick, what's the total in the A&M Arkansas game?
God.
Let's see. Arkansas
48.5.
Yeah. No, it shot up, didn't it? Or did it shoot back? Did it shoot down? I'm sorry. It started at 53 and it is now 49, right on the number 49.
Okay.
I can get you 49.5, actually.
That's a little bit late. All right, one more. What is the Michigan State spread with Minnesota?
Here in Oxford, Mississippi, golf matters. For the Ole Miss Rebels, the casual looking to knock out a quick 18. Yes, we care about the fit when we hit the course, and PXG Apparel has something for everyone. Me? You Talk of Champions listeners know I'm a daily hat wearer, and especially at University Course or Oxford Country Club. PXG has mastered a snapback for any type of weather or occasion. My Navy goes with pretty much everything. Point is, PXG has you covered for any and all golf attire, making sure the fit is right in all the right places. Made with premium materials and technology designed for peak performance, these confidence-inspiring looks invite all-day play, taking you seamlessly from a round of golf to the office to a night on the square. Elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring-Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC at checkout to save 10% on all apparel.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
I've got one if you're still debating. It's minus, let's see, it's Michigan State getting 3.
Yeah, okay. Give me Michigan State in that,
oh,
that one.
Oh, terrible pick. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right, so I know Michigan State had a bad week last week, but
yes,
Washington is much more of a passing team than Minnesota. Michigan State is good against the run, and Minnesota also, which Minnesota, that's what they do. Minnesota's also, I think their top receiver got injured last week.
Yeah, out for the year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Give me Michigan State +3. They're playing at home, coming back from the Washington beatdown. This will be a get right game. While I like PJ Fleck, even though he's weird and he's got Minnesota good, I look for Michigan State to, at least if you're going to give me points at home, I'm going to take them. And so give me Michigan State. Like, I'm a big home dog guy.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. I'm just going to go ahead and get this one out of the way. It's the ugliest game on the board, but it's also the best looking game on the board. And I think Austin probably knows where I'm going here. It's a game I've been on them earlier in the year. They won me some money. Iowa, better. Hawkeyes.
I knew it. Rutgers.
To Piscataway. and Pace Rutgers. And if I told you guys what the total was, I'm not sure you're going to believe me. It opened at 35.5. It's been down to 34.5.
It got bet down.
I get it. It's under the key number. If you somehow saw it at 35. You're going to want to go ahead and take that just in case it's a 21-14 game. I'm laughing. It can't be a 21-14 game. These two teams don't have it in them to be a 21-14 game. I'm not sure the longest play of the game will be over 21 yards. I don't know how
Iowa fans still go to the games. If Ole Miss had played this brand of football, we would play in front of like 18 fans.
Look, this brand of football, and for this reason, the fact that Ferentz won't fire his son, who is their offensive coordinator, like, think about how frustrating it is to watch bad football, and then think about how frustrating it would be to watch bad football because the dad won't fire his son.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
He's about to get himself fired. Like, Kirk Ferentz, who has, like, a 50-year deal at Iowa, he's been coaching at Iowa since, like, the 80s. He's fixing to get himself fired because – his son is so bad at his job. And I don't really get that either. I mean, I guess I do from like a family perspective. But at the same time, he's set for life because his father's a multimillionaire and he's probably also a multimillionaire. He's just hanging on for no reason. And he's going to completely torpedo his reputation with Iowa for nothing. I just, this game is, if you told me it was 17-13, I mean, that's kind of close to 34.5, I guess. And that's about as high scoring as I can see it.
So, you're taking under 34.5?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a principal game. This is like two service academies. This is Iowa Rutgers.
This is the lowest total in college football since 2015.
So
it was lower. Was it a service academy game?
I can't remember the last one. I can't remember.
In 2012 or 2013, I think it was 2013. I bet a college basketball game between BYU and UMass. Hey, you could probably Google it and find the score. The total was 198. Okay.
What?
Good.
198. More. Yeah, correct. And I bet the under because he wouldn't. And the final was like 110 to 104. So. The point being is it's low for a reason. It's not going to hit it. I mean, you're right. You're probably spot on here with under 34.5.
It's not the same thing because the NFL is the NFL and they play, you know, a different style. But I saw that the last 28 NFL games where the total was below 38, it's 21-7 on the under. So obviously not the same thing, but just to show. Sometimes the total can't get low enough, and it happened in that Ole Miss team a few years ago when the offense was really good. The total just couldn't catch up. I mean, what would happen to Vegas if they threw out a 27.5 total? They'd get murdered. Yeah. So they couldn't do it. They have to put it at 35, even if they don't think it's going to get 35.
Okay. I got one in the hopper that I'm really mulling on it, so I'm going to save it.
2013, BYU UMass, final score 105-96. So it went 201.
In regulation.
The score at halftime, I knew I was in trouble at halftime. The score was 52-41. And then the second half, they scored 55 and 53, respectively. I mean, we're talking about, and it's not like they shot. I mean, UMass shot 55% from the field. BYU shot 48%. It's not like they shot 70%, but I mean, they were just like jacking it up as soon as they got down there. I mean, one team took 68 shots, the other team took 63. I mean, Kermit Davis is hyperventilating, like talking about that. Rod Barnes would have to be put in the emergency room.
Just broke into a sweat somewhere and is wondering why.
Was that with the 35-second shot clock too? Was that before the shot clock had even fixed?
Probably. I mean, this was the same year that we won the SEC championship.
Oh yeah, average possession length had to be like,
or the year after
them, and that game had to be like 7.5 seconds.
Yeah, I mean. Just an amazing amount of points. Sorry, I didn't mean to sidetrack us, but anytime I think of an outrageous line, like a super high, I think of that game because the line was like literally in the 190s. It's like there's no way. That's, for college basketball, it's too high. Wrong.
Yeah.
All right, that was a good sidebar because it gave me time to think. I'm going to go to Friday. Just because we need something on Friday to pay attention to. Virginia traveling to New York State to take on Syracuse. I'm taking the orange.
You would think
that it's a letdown spot after their emotional win last week. But nope, Virginia is just that bad. Dino Babers, man, and him and Garrett Schrader just winning games. So, orange,
yeah,
I think it's what, -9?
Yeah, started at 2, I believe. That's right.
God. Can I get it at 2?
I'm sorry, it started at 3.5. So it's only been 5.5 points.
Give me Syracuse -9 there.
Yeah, and remember, Syracuse's offensive coordinator was the offensive coordinator at Virginia last year. So you would think he knows their limitations on offense, their strengths and weaknesses. And the other thing, this number jumped out at me because I thought it was too big at first, like 9 or 10. But then when you consider that Virginia was a 5-point underdog to Illinois just a couple weeks ago, it makes more sense that they would be double digits on the road to Syracuse.
All right, who's got one for us?
Yeah, TCU versus SMU. Give me the Frogs Lane 2, I believe.
Yep. Love that.
Yeah, I just think better team top to bottom. Dykes is going to be familiar with SMU and their roster. I think SMU is a good team for the AAC. I just think TCU is better. I think actually TCU was pretty good even last year. It's just that they had gotten tired of Gary Patterson. The message had grown stale. I still think they're athletes, though. And again, with Dykes, knowing SMU, their roster, their limitations, I think TCU is just a better team. I don't think SMU is going to have much of a home field advantage. You're just asking TCU to win the game in with a 2-point spread. Mm-hmm. So give me the better team on the road. I'm not too worried. I think better coaching staff, better quarterback. I really don't see many reasons to like SMU at all. I was a little surprised. It opened at pick and immediately went to TCU -2. So hope I don't get screwed by the move there, but let me lay the 2 with the Frogs.
All right, go ahead, Nick.
No, I was just going to say, how is this line so small? I mean, I feel like TCU is significantly better than SMU. I mean, they're recruiting a different caliber player. I mean, I get it, it's at SMU, but this line just jumped out to me, really.
Yeah,
it did jump out.
After seeing SMU last week against a Power 5 team in Maryland, not exactly an elite Power 5 team, you know, sort of a middle of the pack, maybe bottom rung Power 5 team. Like, I think TCU is comparable to Maryland, maybe even a little better than Maryland top to bottom anyway. So, again, if you're just comparing game notes from last week, Maryland comfortably beat SMU. I think TCU can do the exact same thing.
So, for my last one, I'm torn between two games. One of them, y'all may not like either one of them. I know Nick won't. He doesn't like anything I pick. But so this is going to be an incredibly unpopular pick, but I got to do it because they got blown out last week. But I think they're probably going to roll this week. And so let's go to the Plains.
I like this pick.
Yeah, I'm going to lay the points with Auburn. Mm-hmm. Seven, you know, I'm gonna lay 7 against Missouri. Here's the thing, Missouri, and I know I can't remember what you picked in the Kansas State score earlier in the show, Nick, but Missouri, they got blown out by Kansas State. They've not played anybody really that can run the ball. And Kansas State turned around after blowing out Missouri and got beat by Tulane. This is not a good Missouri team. They didn't even look great against Louisiana Tech, even though they ended up covering the 21-point spread. Auburn's going to have a get-right game here. It's at home. I mean, death taxes, and Auburn can run the football. I think they're going to be able to run over Missouri. It's just a 7-point line, I think. If it's more than 7, I may have to change my pick, but I think it's 7 or less. And at that number – you know, I think this is like Auburn 30, Missouri 21 final. Don't feel great about it, but at the same time, like, I like to roll the dice a little bit. It's, you know, Auburn is – here's the thing about Auburn. Yes, they got blown out by Penn State, but they are still 2-1 and still have the entire season in front of them what they want to do. And so, you know, they still have Tank Bigsby. And at the end of the season, if Auburn is – you know, loses 1 or 2 SEC games only, they go 9-3. That's still a pretty good year. I don't think that they're going to. But point being is that they haven't had a reason to quit on the year, and they're going to have a get-right game this week. And, they're going to take care of business against Missouri. And so I look for Auburn to win by 10 or, you know, 14. And I think 7's just too low. I mean, that's just too small of a line for a team that got, you know, waxed by Kansas State, who was their quarterback, Tate Martinez the guy that played at Nebraska for like 40 years, who was terrible the whole time he was there. Yeah.
Tate Martell. No, it's
not Adrian Martinez. What is his name? Martinez?
Adrian Martinez. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no, I wouldn't be surprised if the score looks a lot like that score from K-State Mizzou. Like, yeah. I mean, if Auburn, you know, went 35-14, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if Missouri scored like 7 points. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a very good offense.
It's more of an indictment on Missouri. Like, I like to bet against bad teams rather than
for also, good. Ultimately think that Auburn still has some Auburn talent, and I don't think Missouri has any Auburn talent, if that makes sense. Like, Auburn doesn't look like they do in years past, but they're not terrible. I mean, they're going to win some games in the SEC. They're going to still play hard at times. Missouri's might just be, like, downright bad.
Yeah. And I also think, like, the narrative around Drinkwitz is starting to change a lot, too. Like, he was really highly thought of. You know, he was not, like, superstar level like Kiffin. But, like, people appreciated the job he did at App. Thought he did a pretty good job at Mizzou last year and the year prior. This year, dude, like, I'm just not sure if the guy has it. Like, I just don't – at this point, I'm not sure that he's even a good coach, like even a average coach.
Yeah, they make up for having lesser talent by being poorly coached.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, 12 points at K-State is – that's not a good look.
No.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, if y'all don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and grab this last game of the day for me. And I'm afraid that it's going to be one that's not going to be super popular. But I think that Texas A&M is going to put up some points on Arkansas. Arkansas is without their best defensive player off a defense that's pretty awful. Doesn't have much at all in the back seven other than the bumper pool. And I think Texas A&M is – we talked about it before getting on the show here – I think they're gonna kind of get right at some point. I don't necessarily know that they're gonna start, you know, averaging 40 points a game or anything like that. But I mean, this game, all it's got to do is get to be played in the mid 20s. Arkansas is gonna score some points. I think A&M is gonna have to score some to keep up with them. And I think Arkansas's offense is that bad. I'm seeing a number of 48.5. If you guys don't mind me getting that extra point, I mean, I'm seeing it on multiple different spots. So all I've got to do is get 7 touchdowns in the game, 28-21 covers. And I actually think Texas A&M's winning this one outright. My lock was almost Texas A&M minus the points. But I had flashbacks to, you know, them kicking a field goal and winning by 1 point late. I think Texas A&M wins the game. I think Texas A&M is kind of back a little bit. I think that we might have you know, dug their grave a little bit too soon. They're going to put up some points going over 48.5.
Look, I think Max Johnson has given them a spark. Now, he's not dynamic. He's not even upper half in the SEC. But he's better than what they had, and that's what they were sorely lacking prior. I mean, they have pieces. They've got some weapons. Their defense is pretty salty. I thought you were going the other way, honestly. Like, I thought you were going under 48.5. But you're right that Arkansas's defense is really leaky. I mean, they've given up points the last couple weeks. And once their starters went out on defense against Cincinnati way back in, what, week one? I mean, they gave up yards and points to Cincinnati in that game. So this may be exactly what A&M needs to start putting some points on the board is a really shaky back end for Arkansas.
Nick, what are you seeing for Houston and Rice?
Oh, goodness. I'm seeing Houston minus 17.5. And I'm seeing the total at 51.5, maybe 52, depending on which side you want. You want the Cougars?
So
I was thinking about it. What about Arkansas State ODU?
Nick, while you're doing that, just wanted to throw this in there. Since 2009, they played A&M and Arkansas has played every year since 2009. Even though A&M joined the league in 12, I guess they'd renewed the rivalry before that. And since 09, so how many games that 12, 13, the under or every single one of those would have gone over 48.5, but three. And last year was one of them. But they've only had three go under 48.5. It's a high scoring series.
Frankly. And Arkansas's defense is significantly worse than it was in the first couple of years. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're talking
they're a lot worse.
42-31, 31-27, 50-43, 45-24, 35-28, 45-33, 58-10. I mean, these are big numbers. 38-42, 47-19.
It's something about having 25,000 empty seats in Jerry World that just does.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly
right. Just inspires them. Yeah.
It's like an exhibition game.
Yeah. Anytime you can move a game off campus, off of what I think is two pretty good stadiums and two, you know, at least one cool college town, I guess. Anytime you can move a game out of that, put it in a parking lot in Arlington, Texas, I mean, you got
to
do it. You have to do it.
Nick, you love neutral site games.
Oh, God. Don't get me started on who is it? Virginia is traveling to Nashville next year to play Tennessee. Why?
In Bristol, isn't it?
No, it's in Nashville. I saw the schedule yesterday.
In Tennessee, or did they already do that at Bristol Motor Speedway?
With Virginia Tech. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's like just a massive contingency of Cavalier alum here in Nashville.
It must be. I don't know why. I mean, I guess the deal is probably that they're going to play like the next year in Washington, D.C. But I just, when you're a small school like Virginia, I should say a small fan base like Virginia in football, don't give up home games because they're going to outnumber you in D.C. And also the Titan Stadium is not like a cool stadium or anything. So I just don't get it.
The worst stadium in the NFL.
It's honestly terrible. And you're driving past Knoxville to get to Nashville. It doesn't make any sense. You literally just turn off a few exits before and play at Neyland.
Yeah, that's dumb. All right. We're going to go. I got one now. All right, we're going.
Right, go ahead.
We're going to Norfolk. We're going to SB Ballard Stadium. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking Old Dirty -5.5 against Arkansas State.
I like that. I like it a lot. Yeah, I love that one. Arkansas State's trash.
Yeah, they're very bad, and Old Dirty is pretty solid.
Who is Arkansas State's coach? Anybody know?
Butch Jones. Still getting
been able to coach since he was at Central Michigan.
Man,
I think Tennessee's still paying
20 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a weird spot. Dry County too. Jones Boogie. Ugh, tough scene there. All right, so, Austin. Yeah,
that Jonesboro is a dry county was news to me today. When y'all said that earlier, I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird. They have a few bars like on this one little strip, and when I say little strip, I mean like
I've been to a restaurant that serves alcohol. I thought,
yeah, 5 or 6 restaurants total. No alcohol in the entire county. Like you can't buy it in a store, gas station, anything.
You can buy it at a restaurant, right?
At a few restaurants.
Certain restaurants.
Only at Crystal.
Now, outside of going to the random Ole Miss, Arkansas State away games.
Oh, God.
That were played in Jonesboro. As a youth, the first time I went to Jonesboro, it was anything but dry because I went there to visit my cousin and went to a fraternity party, and it was bad news. Yeah. Let's just say the drive back to Memphis on that Sunday was a rough one for your boy. The Red Wolves are bad, and OD is pretty solid. All right, Austin, you got one more, and then I guess we can talk about a couple of the big national games, and then we'll be done.
Yeah, so what I talked about on last week, and I pushed out because of the weather. I'm not going to do it again this week. What is the total in Duke, Kansas?
Oh, yes. Give me a second to pull it up here. Matchup.
66.5.
And Oof. Click on total. I've got it at, 66.5. Unless you, that's right, that's right.
Screw it. Let's do it. Let's go over. Look, the Jayhawks score. They just score. That's all they do. They score. They get in the mid to high 30s against everybody they play. And don't look now. So does Duke. Duke runs tempo suddenly and put 31 on Northwestern, 30 on Temple, 49 on North Carolina A&T. I think Duke can get in the 30s here. let's say 42-35 Jayhawks we sail over. Oh, and it may be close to the basketball total this year.
Yeah.
What a sicko.
They've sold 47,000 tickets to this game at Kansas Stadium, I believe it's Memorial Stadium, I think is what it's called.
I was about to ask if you knew what it was called.
I
don't think that's right.
One of the worst college football programs out there whose fans are hungry for them to win.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, it's not like a Nebraska type, but it's, you know, they're terrible and their fans are, they're starving for it.
David Booth, Kansas Memorial Stadium. You're exactly right, Ben. Like, their fans will go to games if you'll give them a decent product. They were just so bad for so long. But they've sold 12,000 tickets to the Duke game since the end of last week's game. 12,000 tickets in a week for this game. They're expecting a sellout for the first time in, like, 6 years up there. Maybe longer. 8 years.
A good rule of thumb, if you want them to name a stadium after you, you donate $50 million.
That'll do it.
Also, can anybody tell me what street David Booth Kansas Memorial Stadium is on?
Oh, I know it. It's
Mark Mangino Boulevard.
Danny Manning.
Hell of a guess.
Mississippi Street.
Yeah.
Sip Street.
Nice.
Oh, I thought that was Kansas State. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Also,
theirs is on Bill Snyder Street.
I mean, maybe this is the longest con of all time, but how did Mrs. Booth not stop David Booth from donating $50 million to the Kansas football program? I think he's doing all right. He is the executive chairman of Dimensional Fund Advisors. That sounds lucrative. I don't even know what it is, but it sounds good.
It's definitely just like a Ponzi scheme. But do you, Mr. Booth?
Yeah, good for him. All right, so a couple of the national games. Nick, I'm going to tee it up for you because this was one that I was really tangling with. I was really wanting to pick it. I might pick it in real life on Saturday. How is everybody feeling about number 7 Southern Cal traveling to Corvallis to take on the Beavers? Because, man,
I just wanted a touchdown. I wanted a touchdown with the Beavs, and I couldn't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jonathan Smith and that team are fun.
I know USC's good.
Yeah, their defense is still shaky, and I'm just curious how they do night game at Research Stadium. I mean, the Beavers are no slouch. I think USC wins, but man, this is. Maybe I'll take a flyer on them late in the night and just throw some money on the money line just because it could get wacky. But
so something to think about too here in terms of home field advantage. I'm pretty sure they're renovating that stadium. And so I think they're at like half capacity. So
it's 40,000. It's like one end zone, I think. It's like Ole Miss. Yeah. When Ole Miss did that to the south end zone, I think that's what it is.
This game is on the Pac-12 network.
Yeah, all like 17 people are going to watch this.
Yeah. Oh, y'all, we have Kansas State, Oklahoma at 7 o'clock. Just ranked matchups. We won't have any other games starting until BYU and Wyoming at 9:15. This is the 8:30 kick. This is perfect. Yeah. Pac-12 network.
I mean, your boys got it on the guy, but.
This is when people talk about like Pac-12's dying, Pac-12 West Coast football and struggling and stuff. Like, this is why putting it on the Pac-12 network. And I'm not saying some people get it, and I'm going to have to sign up for something that has it, obviously. But
Nick, you know who's going to be doing color for this game.
Who's that?
You know it's going to be Petros, baby.
Oh, God.
Petros Papadakis. He's going to be.
He was on a call earlier in the year.
They're gonna somehow
MSU game.
The if they could do a line, Arizona. Maybe the easiest bet of all time is for them to show any Reggie Bush highlight, because they're going to do it when the Trojans are playing. Another one that I like because it's in Seattle, Washington hosting Stanford. Before we hit the record button, we talked for like an hour about South Panola football.
And we talked about when they finally got on ESPN later in the dynasty, when it was just Tony Connor and a bunch of dudes. I mean, different position, different side of the ball, but man, Stanford is just Tanner McKee. Well, I guess they got EJ Smith too. And then just a bunch of guys. Like they're just not good. I watched a good bit of that Washington game last week when they whipped up on Michigan State. Man, the Huskies are fun. Like that, it is a – the offense is fun as hell. Michael Penix is just fun. Like the word is fun. Like it was a great game.
Agreed. DeBoer, their head coach, dude scores everywhere he goes. They put up points. Like wherever he coaches, they score. Now, their defense is not great. It's not elite by any stretch, but they're going to put up points.
And y'all were talking about Kansas fans, like, begging for them to be good because they want to cheer. Dude, Husky fans, like, that place back in the day when they had Tui Asapopo and they were winning a ton of games, and then when Chris Peterson had it rolling – I mean, the way they built that stadium, the noise stays in there. It's on top of you. They were loud last week. That's going to be a tough, tough scene for Stanford. If you want a game to look at, I like the Huskies big in that one.
Yeah, that's going to be a good game. I shouldn't say that's going to be a good game. I said I enjoy watching Washington play football. I think they're good. I love that stadium. I love, you know, right on the river there, right on the water there.
It's kind of one of those programs where, like, when they're good, it's fun.
Yeah A good Washington, and I think it helps the Pac-12 because it's in a pretty big market and they've got a lot of alums. That will help the Pac-12. USC being good again will help the Pac-12. Obviously, you know, they're at one's in the north, one's in the south, so they'll probably play each other in the Pac-12 title game. But that's a good one. We talk about my Tennessee Vols at all?
No, we haven't.
No.
Well, all day today, this was the lock of the century. I didn't do it because I didn't want to look like an idiot if it didn't hit, because I didn't get the key number. But Tennessee -10.5 is maybe the lock of the year. They are going to absolutely destroy Florida. Yeah, and Zach, I want you to tell me which of Anthony Richardson's passing touchdowns is your favorite this year.
Man, sometimes Nick is the smartest person I've ever met, and then he does zero. This, and I'm like, I want to swan dive into a pit of rattlesnakes.
Tennessee like, this has is... a top 10 offense. How is Florida scoring to keep up with them? They can't.
I think Tennessee has to play defense. Like,
10.5 is a lot of points.
If this was just seven on seven, then yeah. But they still got to play defense.
Florida's offense is pitiful. And I'm going to look back at the end of the year and be like, how did they beat that Utah team? We're gonna wonder how.
Don't and even also, bring that game up.
Anthony Richardson is banged up. I really think that.
I was just gonna say, I'm not saying he is
also hurt. Jack Miller. If Richardson went down, I don't even know who's going in the game.
That's why they're not running him, because they don't have another quarterback.
Right.
And, Nick, I'm not saying that Florida's going to win. I just think they can cover because it's a rivalry game. Billy Napier is going to do something to get them fired up. Anthony Richardson will make some dumb plays. He'll run around. Tennessee's defense is average. Now, I'm not – Hendon Hooker's good. They'll win. But I think it'll be closer than the experts think. # Lee Corso.
So Tennessee and Florida have played each other 51 times. You would probably suspect more than that, or at least I did.
That's crazy, really.
Yeah, this is the largest margin by which Tennessee has ever been favored in the entire series.
Oh.
Yeah. So I guess point is, that may support your point, Nick, that Vegas is not throwing this out there lightly. Like, 10 in the hook over the key number here in this series, which has been pretty tightly contested. Florida has the advantage, 31-20, but generally these games are relatively close, you know? So I think you're probably right there, but Tillman is banged up, right? Is he playing? I'm not sure if he's going to play.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
All right. So are y'all familiar with this? I mean, we all are. Florida has won 31 times. That's despite, and so Tennessee's won 20. That's in spite of the fact that Tennessee won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, the first 10 meetings. Florida has
won 15 of the last 16.
Yes. Yeah. Florida has, Tennessee's won it four times since 2000.
Mm. Yeah. But that makes me think, though, that if Tennessee gets a chance, thing.
Yeah,
they're going to run
it on. It's a good thing this is not 2017, Ben. This is 2022 Tennessee Vols. And I'm just telling you, they're staring down 10-2 this year. Go ahead, 10-2.
I thought you were about to say they're staring down Georgia.
I think Tennessee. No, they've got 10 wins on deck too. I really do. I
think TENN2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Come on.
I think they split Florida and LSU, and they lose to Alabama and Georgia, so 9-3.
Okay, then they're losing to LSU because they're going to murder Florida. Florida can't – they can't score with them. They can't score with them. I don't know why I didn't lock it in so we can have this on the record.
The goal to lock it in. Change one of your locks. You get a free lock.
They're too good. I don't want to go – I don't want to go 4-0. I don't want to do that.
Like you mentioned that Richardson may be banked up. Hooker is healthy so far, but we know he's had, you know, a history of injuries. Yeah, I'm not wishing it on the kid at all. But if he were to roll an ankle, Tennessee's in trouble because Milton is ass. So, again, Florida may not be the defense to actually punish him, but they're going to encounter one at some point, and you're going to need him to be resilient if you're a Tennessee fan, because without Hooker, they have no shot.
Yeah.
Is Florida better than Pitt?
I think it's close.
Florida's not a ranked team for me, so maybe they're Pitt-ish.
Pitt had better quarterbacks.
Yeah, and it's being played in
Knoxville.
Final
with Pitt in Tennessee? Do y'all remember?
In 34-27
Tennessee, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's right. Also, y'all know what they're doing in Knoxville this weekend? They're checkering
England.
Well, they worked real well for them last year. Ole Miss didn't have a walking receiver and won in Knoxville.
If Matt Corral suits up for the Gators on Saturday, they will win. You're right. But he torn the Liz Frank injury, whatever it is, and all. But they are not. AR-15, I'm not supposed to say that. Anthony Richardson is not Matt Corral.
I just think this is one of those throw the records out game. And I normally hate that, but I mean, Florida's defense is good. They only allow 178 yards passing. I'm interested to see how they look. Cause I mean, snuck out by the hair of their chinny chin chin last week against the Bulls. And I mean, this could be, and again, I'm just saying, I think they cover like
33 is going to win.
Yeah, that sounds like Hendon Hooker's first half this week.
Okay. Look, now I'm cheering for him to play terrible.
Last one before we go. What do y'all have anything on Clemson Wake Forest?
You know,
it's Clemson -7.
That's an interesting. I almost locked in Clemson there, but then I got to thinking Georgia Tech gave them trouble for a half, and that was one of the worst Division One. Power Five football teams I've seen in a while. Clemson, unless Ole Miss is literally going to the college football playoff.
Yeah, right.
Clemson just may not be great.
They dominated Louisiana Tech last week. It was 48-20. It was kind of close in the third quarter.
Yeah, and
that's Wake true. Forest, but on the other hand,
quarterback there at home. I don't know, man. That's a sharp line for me. Like, I stay away. I think.
Yeah, Wake was in an absolute dogfight with Liberty last week, though. Like, I know.
Look at
both of these teams have underwhelmed.
Yeah,
it's in the dash though, and that claw fence I think is going to start purring. I think Wake's a team to keep an eye on gambling purposes with Sam Hartman getting acclimated again.
Didn't they lose a receiver, something like that, this week? Wake Forest.
Wake.
Did not know they may have.
Maybe. I mean, yes, I think
Kobe Davis. Is the starting cornerback. I'm sorry. They lost a cornerback. But yeah, they lost
for the season. Well, Clemson didn't have any receivers, so that's fine.
You know, Wake being in a dogfight with Liberty is so on brand for Hugh Freeze, though. I mean, you know.
Did he come out on the good end of the dogfight?
No.
Did not.
Damn.
Hey, and look, I just can't get last year out of my head here. I'm kind of with Ben. Last year, I think Clemson was a 4-point favorite against Wake, and they won 48-27. So the lines of scrimmage, like, Clemson's going to dominate those. I'm not sure if Clawson's weird, you know, mesh offense where they hold the ball forever while making the read. I mean, what happens if Clemson's defensive line is 4 yards in the backfield while you're doing that?
Yeah, you can't read three different guys.
Exactly. Like,
you've got to block all but one. And so – and that Wake can't do that. I
that would offense makes my skin crawl.
I would lay
on cool, that. Cool real life note here, like, not to minimize this at all, like, genuinely awesome deal. Did y'all see where LaTeX players wrote Brian Brzee letters? Brian Brzee, Clemson's defensive end, badass NFL guy probably next year. His little sister died of cancer recently, and LaTeX's entire team wrote him, you know, condolence letters last week before their game against Clemson. So really cool. Has nothing to do with gambling. I just thought that was awesome.
That's handwritten, really cool. Every single player.
Yeah.
Well, she died on like Thursday. It was like very close to the game.
Very, very. And she was 15 years old. I mean, it's just terrible. She's just awful.
Well, that's what I was going to say, that this could also be a game where Clemson really straps it on and does it for the Brzee family.
Yeah, exactly.
And they just play with their hair on fire. I mean, that's what's keeping Clemson, and that's why Dabo Swinney has smartly recruited and built this monster, because he did it from the line of scrimmage out. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got five or six guys that can play in the NFL on that defensive line. Mm-hmm. So
every year.
Yeah. I mean, it's just loaded. So I think it's going to take a while for Hartman to get back where he was last year, and I don't think it's going to be this game. But again, it's in the dash. You can get squirrely, and it's 11 a.m. You know, 11 a.m. ACC games like to get real weird, especially with Clemson.
And Clemson's offense is bad again. So, you know, it's not like if Wake gets a couple things going, say Wake manages to get into the high 20s, low 30s here, which is going to be difficult. I don't know that Clemson can keep up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd probably lean them with Clemson, but if you told me it was a ball game with 6 minutes left, I wouldn't be shocked at all, just because Clawson can really coach. Any other sicko games to discuss, or any Hail Mary tips or picks we want to put out there for anybody?
Yeah, if you want a crazy money line play, it's James Madison against App State. App State has just been like who's had a crazier season than App State so far?
Hyperventilating.
Nobody. Yeah, absolutely. But they deserve to lose last week. It was a great story. It was a fun moment and all that, like, moment of the year so far. But Troy was the better team for most of that game. So App State's had a shootout with North Carolina and a rivalry game to open the season. They go on the road and pull off the upset of the year against A&M. They come home, have the crazy Hail Mary moment. At some point, they're going to be flat, right? They have to be flat at some point. They're laying 7 to James Madison, who had a bye week last week. James Madison was an elite FCS program. Now they're making the step up. Obviously, they may not have the roster they're going to have in a couple of years, but I just think catching 7 in this spot, it's going to be an obvious letdown for App. They can't possibly ride this high all season.
They've got to be tired too, man.
Got to be tired, right? emotionally drained. I mean, and with James Madison off of a bye, they've been preparing for this game for 2 weeks now. And JMU has players. They've got guys. I think over a touchdown was crazy. I think this opened at like 10 and a half. That's a stupid number. It's already been bet down to 7. I would sprinkle a little on JMU here, money line. I think they can beat them.
Yeah. Last game, I wouldn't bet anything on this. Just, I just want to alert the masses. As Marshall goes to Troy, it's a Marshall team that beat Notre Dame and lost to Bowling Green the next week. So their highs are pretty high, lows pretty low. They're favored by 3.5 at Troy. I think it's going to be a good game. And it's on NFL Network, which is a little bit strange. So this is one of those Ole Miss games just ended. You know, you don't want to watch ESPN or ABC, whatever. You want to flip to NFL Network, have this one on. I think it's going to be a pretty good game. Marshall's kind of interesting to me. And that Sun Belt's just kind of fun. I mean, it's they don't call it the Fun Belt for nothing.
Yeah, it's like a developmental league for the SEC, honestly.
Yes, it truly is. And also, you know, the former Ole Miss assistant John Summerall is head coach of Troy. So
Troy's not bad. They're going to have an emotional letdown from last week, but I mean that's an interesting game to watch, especially given with Marshall's history. Like you said, you know, Bowling Green goes to State this week, and yeah. I've gone all episode not talked about them, and State did not look good against LSU, no. Especially in the second half. That's a bad LSU team, too.
I know you were upset.
No, that was just mortified. But, I mean, I think the total in that Bowling Green State game is 52-ish.
Yeah.
Might go over. Bowling Green can score a little bit. You know, like you said, they beat Marshall. State's going to try to work out the kinks after losing that LSU game. Another one of my theories, you know, we all have them on our own quirks or whatever. One of my theories is when coaches start to sense that things are going a little sideways, they blow out the teams they're better than. And I think that is kind of one of those, not saying that Leach is feeling the heat yet, but we talked about this a little bit, you know, before the show. You come back after losing LSU and you beat Bowling Green like 52-6. And that tries to get the, you know, bad taste out of all the alums' mouth.
That's right.
Last one here, because as you're listening to this, it will be today or tonight, but we are recording this on a Wednesday, Thursday evening. This one's odd. Y'all tell me if I'm missing something here. Coastal is at Georgia State and only favored by 2. Why in the world – I missed this one. I might have locked it in, but Grayson McCall still plays for the Chanticleers. I don't understand why this is so low. Georgia State's 0-3. I think if you want to gamble on Thursday, I think the Chants here can handle Georgia State.
Oh man, that's an interesting pick because Georgia State's like a good 0-3.
Yeah. Like they've had some close. They lost by now. They lost by 1 to Charlotte, which Charlotte is abysmal. But also ties into this week's game. South Carolina plays Charlotte, and South Carolina only beat Georgia State 35-14.
Yeah, and were outgained by Georgia State.
Yeah, they had a couple punts blocked, played good defense. Georgia State scored 28 on North Carolina, cost me a lock, so that was cool. Or maybe it was a parlay, but anyway. Coastal's quietly 3-0, and like I said, Grayson McCall is still there. He's spinning it. Just a weird line to me. I know it's on the road at Old Turner Field, but still, it just seems weird.
I think the play there is over.
Yeah, both of them. Coastal averages close to 36 a game. Georgia State's right at 28. The number's 62. So, yeah, it's close.
Georgia State's averaging like 5 yards a carry. They outgained South Carolina and nearly outgained North Carolina. I mean, and then they lost to Charlotte. That's the most perplexing of teams. I mean, they could easily be 3-0 with 2 Power 5 wins.
Crazy. Best 0-3 team in the country.
They really are.
On the other hand, Coastal's results are not impressive. Like, they escaped Gardner Webb. They did not roll up Buffalo, a bad Buffalo team. They beat Army by 10 in week 1, but, you know, Army's not very good this year. I don't know. I think the line is telling us it's going to be a lot closer than you would expect. Like, no shit here, but I think it just goes over. I think Georgia State's going to keep pace, and Coastal's going to have to score. So, what, mid-30s, low 40s game, 42-38, somebody?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Last thing here.
Should be a good slate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's college football. It's going to be fun. Noted Ole Miss hater Brett McMurphy is reporting 30 minutes ago, give or take, a 21-year-old Utah student was arrested after she threatened to detonate a nuclear reactor that is located on campus if Utah lost to San Diego State last week.
It's my kind of fan. No, I'm just kidding.
She was booked into Salt Lake County Jail on Wednesday, and Utah won 35-7. So
why does Utah have a nuclear reactor on campus?
She laid between like them, a clearly.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. That's yeah. Wild college football, man.
Sheesh.
All right, that's gonna do it for week four of Hit That Line. Ole Miss, Tulsa, 3 o'clock Saturday. We'll have tons of stuff at omspirit.com. Tons of podcasts this week to get you ready. We'll be back next week. Hopefully, myself and Austin will fare a little better. Try to catch up with Ben and Nick. But yeah, we're 18 and 19 overall. We've got some ties in there. I think we're what, 1, 2, 3, 4. We got 4 pushes so far in the year. So that sucks. But yeah, so we're getting back closer to the black. Hopefully this week is what puts us over the hump and then we can stay there. But thanks to Austin, thanks to Ben, thanks to Nick, thanks to you, the listener, and of course, thanks to our sponsors that bring you this show each and every week. We'll be back next week, week 5, preview Ole Miss Kentucky. But until then, take care. We out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.